It's over, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it over? Guys, we are looking at the series finale for Voltron on AfterBuzz TV, Season 8, Episode 13. We are going to talk about destroying reality, the pros and cons of such, and what's in an epilogue. We have a very special guest with us, so team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I swear it throws me every time. Yeah. We get the music and it's the playout music. This is why I start with my own theme music at the cold open.
Like, you gotta just go and pull my heartstrings with, like, my favorite Steven Universe song. Why you gotta do that,
Look
Katie?
Well, I had to fit it in somewhere, and this was it. Look at all the things I do not regret. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are looking at Season 8, Episode 13, The End is the Beginning. Which is a title that also throws me every time because I want to append Onward Aoshima to that for the Gravity Falls fans in the audience. I have with me Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. And our very special guest today should introduce themselves, I think.
I'm the Green Paladin.
Hey!
Woo! Bex Taylor Klaus.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
I appreciated the finger guns.
Yeah. Thank you. Look, finger guns need to have a comeback.
I was kind of expecting, like, applause from the soundboard or something. Nah, we tried.
I can provide my
own. That was a good approximation of, like, the crowd swelling.
You're so amazing.
So the chat is halfway between yelling at me in anger and pain and yelling at you in glee. So I figure it's a good way to do this.
I'll take it.
All right, as usual, the house rules before we get this rolling. We are not doing a spoiler warning because, guys, we're at the series finale. What is there to spoil? So there is that.
I don't know. What is there to spoil?
Your hopes and dreams?
Yes!
Oh, those things!
Always those. We have the live chat. If you're watching live on YouTube, we have the hashtag ABTVVoltron. If you want to participate, if you want to say things, if you have comments, whatever, throw them in the hashtag, throw them in the live chat. If you are not listening live, definitely do them in the hashtag. The hashtag lasts longer. So we can check that all throughout the week. The live chat does not always last. And finally, as always, we have our house rule. Be nice or get out.
Oh.
You on it. I love it. As always, you have your opinions. You are welcome to express your opinions. But if you do not express them in a respectful manner, I will punt you. And you will be gone. And this
doesn't... are like buttholes. Everyone has them, but I don't want to see it.
They are allowed to respectfully give their opinions here. And I know that banning doesn't sound like a lot because it's the series finale, but just because it's the series finale doesn't mean we're done, guys. We got more episodes and you will miss things. So, be nice. Alrighty, let's get this show on the road. I want to know what you thought about Pidge's character arc through the season and through this series. Talk to me about Pidge.
Oh, man. I love that little green bean. just the best, the most pure, sweetest, and smart. I will go all the way back to what I said in season, what, two, I think
one
it was.
Or two, yeah.
Pidge is Batman. Pidge is Batman. Pidge solves everything. Pidge knows what's going to happen, and even if she doesn't know what's going to happen, she's going to fix it. She's got methods in place to fix nearly everything. The minute Allura says... what has to be done, like hints towards what has to be done, Pidge is like, oh, I know what's happening.
Oh, so plan C then, on it.
I mean, I think Pidge wanted that to be plan like Z.
Z sub 5.
Z sub 5 for sure. It's like, I know that this is a possibility, but please no. I like you.
Oh, this was rough. This was so rough.
This was a very difficult episode.
And remember, how long have they been in space? I can't actually remember.
Literal years.
Literal
I'm gonna
years.
I'm going to go with literal years.
Pidge started this as a 15-year-old. 14? Mm-hmm. 15-year-old.
Bitty.
Bitty little baby. And after traveling through space for years, she's developed this maturity and wisdom. But she's still a kid.
Yeah.
She's still a kid. And dealing with losing someone in your family over and over and over is going to... it's going to take an emotional toll. And so I think part of that is why at the very end we get Chip, a sweet, innocent little boy robot toy. Because Pidge is like, I didn't get this. I'm gonna make this.
I think this is the first loss she's experienced that's been permanent.
Oh yeah,
she found her brother. She found her dead. Wow.
What?
Look, I'm recovering from a convention, and I'm still hecked up right now.
The con crusties.
Yeah, I worked a con, and I have the con plague. So it's like, all right. I'm here. Yeah. Let's do this. Which is how fair. I approached the convention this past weekend. That's for those fair. Of you who were at Gallifrey 1, hi, you probably saw me living in the auction room. yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. But she found her brother even after that fake out. She found her dad.
Who's not
Shiro,
dead.
Shiro came back, which was nothing short of a miracle. This is the one that stuck.
Uh-huh. This it is the one that stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing, is Pidge is the luckiest. I don't want to curse on this cast, but I also really want to curse on this cast. The luckiest son of a gun. Actually, that's fair, because Colleen is a pistol. The luckiest son of a gun ever. And I love Colleen.
Colleen is my queen.
Right, Cal Queen. I can't get over how lucky Pidge is. Everything kind of turns itself around. Except this. Yeah. This one doesn't really fix itself.
No, it fixes literally everything else, though.
Literally the rest of reality.
But it's so heart-wrenching, because at the beginning of Pidge's arc, she was willing to put the team aside so that she could put together, so that she could find what was left of her family. She was willing to put all of that aside.
And now this is an extension of her family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so seeing Allura sacrifice herself not only for this family, but for the universe in general, for something larger than herself, that says a lot about where all of these characters are.
She's
gone.
Never going to forget that.
No.
Ever.
None of them will.
The last thing Allura says to her is also absolutely gut-wrenching. Just, ow. Ow, I hurt. I hurt.
I wrote it down. I wrote all of the final words down because I can't. Because
you wanted
not
to cry? Why?
Because I do my job. I am supposed to lead this dumpster fire, and I will do my best.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I concede. That's fair.
So what did she say, Katie?
Remain curious and fearless.
And she did.
It's like, all right, just stab me in the heart, why don't you?
Over and over and over.
About five times.
I was going to
say
quick
succession.
Because number five is alive. Even if Allura isn't.
There are five lions.
That's going to be this episode,
isn't
it?
There are five lions, even if there are only four pilots. No, just that shot when they cut back to the inside of the blue lion and the cockpit is empty.
Yeah.
Like, that was just such a haunting image.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's so good.
It really is. This show is so good at just like, we just need to kind of linger on this moment for a little bit. Let's just stay here. Here's the musical cue.
I mean,
okay, they're all crying. Let's move on.
We have this argument because it's funny. But at the end of the day, it's not even a discussion who is the most important part of Voltron. Allura. Yeah. All the way through. Voltron would not exist if it weren't for Allura. Yeah. Nothing would happen if it weren't for Allura. And so it makes sense for everything to begin and end with Allura.
Yeah. It's without just, you, there is no Voltron. Well, you don't need Voltron anymore.
Yeah. It's like that thing that I can't even remember which superhero it is that says it. I'm pretty sure they all say it at some point. You guys need to learn how to save yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Allura knows that. It's like, we can save reality, and once we've done that, we have to facilitate reality saving itself and maintaining its own safety.
Yeah,
and
Voltron.
I kinda love that.
Yeah, Voltron was the catalyst for this. Voltron was what broke up this 10,000 years of dumpster fire.
Uh-huh.
And set everyone.
Totalitarian regime.
Yeah. Set everyone tomato, on the tomato road to. Yeah, well, yeah, for the Galra Empire.
Tomato,
it's
potato.
The same thing. Look, I made a shirt that said Frip It Sorry for a reason. All right? It's in my shirt shop. You can get one for yourself. It's fun.
I need five.
You can
on
get
principle.
Five.
Except I can't because I keep trying to Marie Kondo my closet. And then this happens.
Look at all the things I don't regret.
Does it spark joy?
Everything sparks joy when you're me.
Well, then, sorry, Bex. You're just going to have to own everything.
Pretty much. Everything sparks joy if you're me. I'm so ADD, I can find joy in anything. It's a blessing and a curse.
Is there a philosophy to having someone else Marie Kondo your closet? Like, what's that called?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Marie Kondo, because we married someone who will throw things out. Wordplay! I'm sorry. I'll see myself.
I think that's when you get to be on season two of Marie Kondo.
Because
it's like, what do you do when everything sparks joy?
Yes. How can you help me when I find joy in literally everything?
I feel like that's a good way to live life, though.
It is. Especially on days where I'm like having a bad brain day. It's just like, no. Find that one little thing in the corner that makes me smile. Oh, wait, that whole corner is full of things that make me smile.
Or is that just your pinch shrine?
Pretty much.
even it's if it's corner. Just the corner, you're like, look, it's so perfectly 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Good for you, corner.
Exactly. It's a superpower, really.
It did so good.
As long as you use your powers for good.
I'm working on it.
Speaking of... Wow. I was going to segue that, but whoa, that
expression. Shout out to our iTunes listeners.
Who are like, what?
Facial expressions. Oops.
Great podcasting. That's what that is. So that I had a segue for that, but...
But I ruined it.
Speaking of using your powers for good... And not doing that, let's talk about Onerva for a minute.
Oh, good lord.
Let's talk about how Allura had to reach in and reset her brain. Hey, remember that time before you were completely bonkers? Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out when we were watching it, it's the exact opposite of what she did to Zarkon a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Well, that makes for a really good parallel because Allura was at like her lowest at that point in terms of how ruthless she was being and how far she was willing to go to stop Onerva. And that was arguably a very morally questionable thing to do, especially with the abruptness of it. But here, yeah, it's like the complete inverse. It was like, well, no, it's the exact same thing, but it's reminding people of the good in the world and, you know, what can be achieved when we work together and what's worth, I guess, saving reality for.
Well, and they went digging into Onerva's mind for information, and this, her memories, who she used to be, wound up being the exact information they needed to save reality.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens. It's almost like writing happened or something. Writer's room, y'all rock.
Yeah, no kidding. God bless the writers for this show.
I mean, they tackle such complex things in pretty colors.
Yeah. One of my coworkers, her young son, is a fan of this show, so she's watched it with him, and occasionally it's like, hey, did you see season 8 yet? And I'm like, yeah, it gets real dark. You may want to. And then
watch
she comes back, my son loved it. He keeps watching the last two episodes over and over again. We have them memorized. I'm like,
that's heartbreaking.
Glad your son's doing okay.
Yep. The trauma's going to happen later. But it'll be fine.
This is a show aimed at younger kids. It has a lot of content in it that's like, just because the target audience is a certain age range doesn't mean that everyone can't enjoy it.
Well,
and I say this as a 30-year-old adult.
That's the thing, is Voltron is aimed at 7 months to 700 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in there for absolutely everybody. To say it's a kid's show is very limiting. I mean, it's accurate to how it was pitched and how it was built, but it's limiting because Voltron is so much more than just pretty colors and beautiful animation.
That's like saying that animation as a whole is only for children.
Yeah.
And that's very dismissive of the art form as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's recommended or aimed for a certain age range, but that doesn't mean it has to stay there.
And I'm pretty sure, like, the toy company who owns the Voltron IP is, like, it's for boys and their dads. And the target and the audience that watches Voltron is like,
sure about that? I'm gonna say that the multicolored lions that combine into a giant robot are for everyone?
Maybe.
It's almost
Someone's like, playing this on a speaker and their dog just
It's almost like you could sell things to a much larger demographic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
What I'm saying is I want more jewelry.
Sometimes we make our own merchandise because it doesn't exist. I'm wearing a Sinisai pin.
Yep.
Because Sinisai makes good stuff.
Sinisai makes beautiful things. Han Solo makes all of the jewelry that I always wear. I got, like, fan-made Form Voltron ring.
Aww.
And I love it. And I wore it in the last show I was on, and I'm hoping someone will, like, zoom in.
They're like, wait, there! Zoom in hands!
Because that's how YouTube works.
Yes.
And then they take off their glasses, and they're like, my God.
Have you seen that GIF where a guy takes off a pair of glasses and he's got another pair on? It's just continually.
That's the mood of every CSI episode.
That's actually kind of how I feel about the show sometimes. Actually. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. No, this
CSI
whole last episode.
Is that in reverse, though? It's that whoosh pun.
Scream. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, Minerva wanting to murder all of reality because if I can't enjoy the simple joys of life, who can? Like, what?
I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week. The fact that her motivation is that, you know, is essentially the same motivation as, like, Into the Spider-Verse. Like, the fact that she just wants her family back is such an interesting motivation for the last big bad standing. Like, after everything, all she wants...
I think it's
wants...
powerful.
Yeah.
Because, it's interesting, because more crimes happen because of love than hate.
Yeah.
In real life, if you talk to any investigator, that's probably what they're going to tell you. Most investigators, at least. But that's... People do crazy things for love. Family love, lust love, whatever love they end up having, they will do unbelievable things for the people that they love and for the things that they love. I mean, look at John Wick! He went off on a killing spree for a dog. I can't blame him. I'd do the same thing. But that's
a very cute dog.
I mean, it just proves my point.
Well, and we're looking at Minerva at this point. She's been dead. She's been resurrected. She's really high on quintessence. And she's also really high on the intergalactic evil entity. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's not thinking straight right now.
Yep.
But I also kind of have to love, if I can't have it, no one can. Burn it to the ground. I have to love that as a motivation for a villain. Like, oh, I can't have it? Well, screw all of you. I'm not only picking up my toys and leaving, I'm nuking the playground.
I'm nuking the playground.
That's what this is. She basically went into the playground of reality and went, y'all done.
Yep, pretty much.
And the way that all the realities are depicted, the way that the source is depicted, I love this. I love this weird, shiny spider web where everything comes back to life. It's almost like a root system.
It looks like a nervous system.
Yeah.
Like,
think about it.
Yeah.
Your brain kind of imitates what reality is.
Yeah.
And vice versa. It's kind of cool. I like what they
came up
with.
It's like a neural map.
Yeah.
Of the universe.
And there's so much about the human brain that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The universe could operate exactly like the human brain. We don't know. We don't know... either of those two things.
Yeah. Not just this large, terrifying fight in the middle of the brain of the universe. And when Minerva destroys realities, everyone else
Bob's
getting the
brain.
Empathic flash.
It was all in Bob's intergalactic brain, the galaxy of Bob. Thank you, Josh.
Does that mean that Minerva destroyed Bob at one point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And Bob was like, not having that. Nope.
Mm-mm. That's what you get for hitting on me.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh my God. Yep, just the worst migraine is someone literally destroying your brain from the inside out.
Ow.
But this, and I just love just pulling this out. Pulling out these giant, ridiculous wings, because in the end, it's wings.
It's
and
wings.
Just taking Minerva and going, no, we're going to sit down. Just sit. And let's talk.
See? Talking helps things.
Talking and also having someone magically reset your brain. Like,
you know.
Turning it off and on again is a thing that helps.
That's how they
what a nap is? Yes. Isn't that what a nap is, though? It's just a little reset button. Turn it off and back on again. You'll be fine. Just take it to sleep.
I'll bet.
Like, is it possible that all this time Minerva was just hangry and that the same result could have happened if Allura had handed her a Snickers? Go, Minerva, have a Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry.
Someone in chat said that about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
Whoever you are in chat, you and I, we're on the same wavelength. I like it.
Katie, I need an animatic of this.
Katie Fox says, maybe things would have gone better if we'd all worn the right socks.
Thank you. I agree with Slav. I think that, I like that Slav is the embodiment of what it's like to have OCD and anxiety. And I like that Shiro has trouble with it because that is just the quintessential neurotypical versus neurodivergent thing that mm-hmm. I've ever seen. Like, I've experienced being Slav in a situation with a Shiro. And I'm like, just... You gotta let me get through it. You just gotta let it happen, guys.
Well, and then proving Slav right. Like,
yeah, he was
yeah
right.
I believe this, but I don't believe that anyone sits there and calculates, oh my god, you do. Uh-huh. Oh my god. And then Slav straight up predicting the series finale. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, this reality is hecked, man.
Uh-huh. And Pidge, I love how easily Pidge is like, you. Oh no, I'm wrong. You're right. Let's do this. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
Aluminum!
It's so good. I love yeah. that. That's another thing I love about Pidge. She could just accept when she's wrong and yeah. switch tracks.
It's
she's
that,
smart.
It's that easy. It's like you're presented with the facts. It's like, oh, my assessment was incorrect. This is the correct assessment now.
There is an exception to that. Double modulation.
Always double modulate, y'all.
She and Hunk will never see eye to eye on that one. Never.
Chip is double modulated at every alley.
Oh, of course he is. Yeah. That's the whole family project. He's absolutely double modulated.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to talk about Chip for a second?
I think we'll get there. I think we're still kind of in the apocalypse right now.
Fair enough.
Or rather, we're moving back to this self-sacrifice. Just the, so I can reset you and I can make you a force for good instead of evil. You know what that requires? Oh yeah, let's go.
Well, like, part of what death. Convinced her yeah. was seeing memories of Lotor before he got Cronenberged. was just seeing him interact with Allura. It's just like, oh, you were trying to help my son. And this is where they're like, well, yeah, Lotor was misguided, but ultimately, like, if you're talking macro, like, still genocide. You're talking macro scale. He did want the best.
He's a Cronenberg.
He's a Cronenberg.
Genocidal onion.
He yep. would. He's got layers.
He's got layers.
See, and he would have been an incredible force for good had his family knife not been so hecked up. Because,
right?
You know, he just wanted mom and dad, even though mom wasn't there, to be proud of him.
He didn't know his mom until it was too late.
He didn't go off the deep end until Zarkon looked at this planet that he'd made and went, no, son, you are wrong, and murdered them all, and then exiled him. Like,
uh-huh.
yeah, burn it down and salt the earth, dad, thanks. So,
yeah, that's not scarring in any way, well, shape, or form.
No.
But, like, because that's the thing, is he was being a force for good on that planet, and his dad was like, nope, evil is the way to go. And he's like, okay, fine. You want evil. You got it.
And seeing these memories of her son like that are what sort of help Minerva come to terms with the fact that she is responsible. Because a lot of this is her refusing to take responsibility for her role in how terrible their lives all ended up.
I'm going to go back to something Pidge says in season one about anybody can man up because it's an expression. Anybody can man up because it's an expression. It's ungendered, even though it's unnecessarily gendered. Minerva mans up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And gets it done.
Yeah.
And accepts the consequences, faces it, and fixes it. It's a really big consequence, but she does it.
Yeah.
And that is a lesson to be learned.
And Allura helps, and we have this spiritual family reunion at the end there, and recreate reality, along with Dibazol and Altea, which is like, okay, when you can rewrite reality, you undo a couple genocides, I guess.
Good rocks.
see the spirits of the older paladins come back? Because, yeah, like, the last time we saw them, it was in Hunerva's mindscape. So, like, seeing them come back here was so, so cool. It was a wonderful send-off for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a beautiful moment, even though, like, the goodbyes were all heartbreaking. And then I still spent some time trying to figure out, like, okay, Lance has the Mark of the Chosen. And then you pointed out...
Oh, it's called just that, the Mark of the Chosen.
She chose him.
It doesn't have to, like, I think we kind of inferred that it was a genetic thing, but no, it was probably a deliberate choice of who gets to be a chosen one. Well, that's why it's called the Mark of the Chosen.
It's like passing down a keyblade.
I mean, it's like, I like to think of it as, in Judaism, we all say we are the chosen people. And being the chosen people gets passed down by bloodline. So the marks get passed down by bloodline. Except when you are chosen. I like that.
Yeah. It's so good. Ugh. It did seem, when we were like binging through it, it did seem very abrupt. But you go back and you're like, oh no, I get it now.
This is a season that really benefits from a slow rewatch. Just everything in it, from the slow build of seeing how Allura got to this place, seeing relationships develop, seeing that Curtis has been there the whole time.
Curtis has been there the whole time.
He has. He's been on the porch the whole time.
He's just been in the background of every picture, like photobombing everybody.
It's interesting because, you know, like, Curtis really likes the Captain sitting on the bridge, but then Curtis is the one that grabs Captain for the kiss at the wedding, and I'm like, okay, all right, I see how this works.
Made that joke with the arm wrestling, where it's like, and that was when Curtis fell in love.
Yup,
that is absolutely when he fell in love.
Yeah. And he's had a bunch of lines. He's been around for a while. He has been helping, so it's not just like, who is this guy? It's like, no, he's been there. We just haven't put a lot of emphasis on him, but he is there.
Yeah.
So then, like, when you know what you're looking for, it's like, oh yeah, he's been there the whole time.
And interestingly, I don't know if anyone noticed this, the show's not actually about relationships. It's about war.
Yeah.
Please play that dun-dun-dun sound right now, because we need that.
Thank you!
I needed Perfect. That.
But that's the thing, is it, Curtis in the background makes sense because they're never going to bring him to the foreground and be like, this is going to be a love interest. Because that's not what the show is. It's not about who falls in love with who. It's about, sure, love conquering hate.
Yeah, empathy and understanding at the end of the day
that kind
is
of
the
love.
Thing that triumphs.
Not but relationship
there are,
love.
But there are so many different kinds of love.
So
They're
many.
All valid. So to sit here and say, romantic love is the best and all the rest doesn't matter, it's just like, oh friend, the Greeks had 7 different words for 7 different kinds of love.
Mm-hmm.
You can chill.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that's the thing, is saying that relationship love is the only love that matters gives kids such a bad view of what their lives has to be. Like, you are not less than for not having someone on your arm. You are just enough for wanting to be alone, or even if you don't want to be alone and you are alone, you're nothing less than. You're not less than for being alone. And to tell people that they are, it kills them. It kills them slowly from the inside out, and that is not okay. And I hate that, and I'm tired of sitting and watching people say things like that. Just because you don't end up with someone doesn't mean you're alone, doesn't mean you're sad, and doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. Whatever, however you end up, is fine. If you feel okay with that, then it's fine. Don't let anyone else shit all over you for the decisions you've made.
You don't need someone to complete you. You are already complete. If you find someone to compliment you, great.
That's the one.
Hey, thank you.
You are enough.
You are enough.
And we love you.
Yes, that too.
Yes.
Yay.
So thank you for letting me go off. I'm just very tired of seeing all that.
I think that was a good place to go.
Yeah.
And I think before we move on, we need to have a little break here.
Sure.
And take care of a little bit of stuff.
So yes,
Hello, After Bros. We only have a few more episodes, so I'm bringing it back. Hey, After Bros. Before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
And if you also want to support this podcast, if you want this podcast to get out more, if you want more people to see it, if you want us to rise higher in the iTunes search, best thing you can do, head to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, because there are 5 lines to form Voltron, and anything less doesn't work.
Yeah! We can't form a worm.
No.
That'd be weird. And leave a review and say like, hey, here's a review. We love you. That is really super helpful. And when you leave a review, be sure to screen cap it and throw it in the hashtag #ABTVVoltron, because iTunes really likes reviews, but iTunes really doesn't like organizations. So we have a hard time finding them.
On the mobile devices, it's impossible.
Oh, yeah. So do the thing. Do that. We love to give you guys shout outs. I don't see anything new in the hashtag, but we do adore you. You know that. We do. And I think at this point we need to talk about our 1 year later and our epilogues. Yeah. We are at that point in the night.
So Chip!
Chip!
Evidently a reference to Vehicle Voltron. Like, the Holts are just like, let's make Voltron again, but with vehicles instead
Pretty
of lions.
Well, I mean, if you go through frame by frame, there are hints at Vehicle Voltron in the
epilogue, yeah.
In the epilogue, in the uniforms that the people in the background are wearing, and in the actual vehicles that are in the background of that hangar that the Holt siblings are in. They're not easy to see. You're going to have to go back and search, and you're probably going to have to go on the internet and search old Voltrons to find the connections, but they're there.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the time when they ran out of Go Lion footage. And so they had to start meshing together other shows, Robotech style. And so Chip, in the original Voltron, for people who didn't know, Chip and Pidge were brothers. And that was the loose thread that connected the old footage to the new footage.
Yes. They're making a new brother.
Exactly. They always wanted a littlest brother.
Also, Matt got shorn.
Matt did get shorn.
Matt that was like, I'm took tired. Me a minute.
He's like, I'm tired of this long hair. It's gotta go. All right.
I couldn't find a decent barber out in space. I had to That's wait fair. Till I came back to Earth.
And I think part of it was like he's working and he got tired of like tying his hair up and he's like, you know what? And he did the identity crisis head buzz. You know, it's growing back.
The Marshall.
Yeah.
He hit his quarter life crisis and he's just like, it's gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Just like, nope, we're done. Like, all right, cool, fun, great. Yep, we're building Chip. We have Lance telling the story of Allura to the kidlets. And I love that it's multi-species kidlets.
Oh, yeah.
It's everyone. It's not just like, here's the Altaian children. It's everyone.
Well, I'm going to go back to something I said earlier, is Allura took Voltron and left the Voltron Coalition. So instead of having this big superhero to keep the world peace, she's left behind the ability for the world, for the universe to peace itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pacify itself.
All
that's
of
the
pieces are in place. You know, it's just up to everybody else to put them together to form the metaphorical Voltron of universe.
Form Voltron Coalition!
We have Hunk the Diplomat / Cooking Empire.
And
like,
he never wanted
him.
To be a part of this. He never wanted to be a diplomat. He didn't want any of this at the beginning, but he evolved. He grew. Yeah. He grew into this role in such a beautiful way, and I love that.
And it's such
and
a
food
perfect
is his love language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a perfect extension of like how he was raised, because food is how his family would say that they loved each other, and so he can bring peace to the universe by sharing that love with everyone.
Yes.
It's perfect.
And Keith at the beginning was just a fighter. All he wanted to do was fight all the time, and his growth and evolution was he turned the Blade of Marmora into a refugee
a humanitarian organization.
Thank you. And I love that growth. That's just beautiful to me.
Yeah, and I loved the... For one, he's giving a full-on speech to the Kral Zara about we can do better. We need to do better. We have an opportunity now. Let's do it. Let's join the Galactic Coalition.
And they're like, you be our new ruler. And he's like, no.
Just the classic Keith. How many times? I want you to lead Voltron. Nope.
Pretty much.
And then he winds up being
Literally anything else I have to be doing now. Bye.
What if I just leave and find myself for 2 years? What if I just do that? But he has become such an incredibly good leader.
Yeah.
My God, just watching all this character growth.
And speaking of leaders and growth, Shiro goes from being the battle-centric leader. All he can do is explore and battle, and everything is about everything and everyone else. He gets a chance to finally stop that and live for himself, which he's never done before.
The fact that it was phrased as Shiro leaves the battle behind, it's like, yes! This is someone who has been caught up in this noise since the beginning, has been tortured, has been traumatized, has had to fight for his life, has literally died for this war, and come back. And the fact that he...
More than once!
Yeah, more than once!
Yep. And the fact that he is able to step back and do something for himself, that's absolutely incredible.
And I think
he can heal.
It only
that
happened
way.
Because of Allura.
Mm-hmm.
Of Allura giving him permission to stop.
Yeah.
He needed that external voice telling him, it's okay. You've done your part. You can breathe now and live for yourself.
The universe no longer needs Voltron.
Mm-hmm. No longer needs you to lead Voltron.
It's not all on you. Put the planet down, Atlas. We're good.
Yes. And I love that. And I guess that brings us to Pidge, who... Pidge was a kid. Pidge's growth was learning who she was and what she wanted to do. And now she's doing it. That's the simplest and the purest. And so I guess all that's left is Lance. Lance went from all he wanted to do was be number one. He always wanted to be the flyer, the fighter, the tailor, the everything. He wanted to be seen because he's a kid from
a
large family.
In a big family, yeah.
He felt overlooked, kind of like Ron Weasley. And so he got to be number one. He got to be number one. He was Voltron's right-hand man, quite literally. And it wasn't what he needed. It was everything he wanted, but it was nothing that he needed. He ended up losing the person he loved most, and that left such a sour taste in his mouth that he needed to stop more than anything. And sometimes what you want isn't what you need. And Lance figured that out and rolled with it. He went home and he took what he needed.
And his family had always been very important to him. And we roll it all the way back to season one, episode two. And you see what's on everyone's minds that they have to put aside. And it was his family.
He wanted to go home. Just like Pidge wanted her family, he wanted his.
So, so this whole, I'm on a farm with my family, surrounding himself with the things and people that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah. So it's, I don't agree with the assessment that, oh, well, Lance is forever alone.
Like, no.
That doesn't mean anything.
Just because we didn't see him specifically wind up with someone doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Just because
he
ain't got a
ring
on his
finger, it was necessary.
Doesn't mean he's alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's not necessary.
And
you can find love again after heartbreak and losing people.
Also, it's only been a year.
Can,
yes. It's been one freaking year since he lost the first love of his life. He can find a second love of his life. That's human. That's fine. But it's been a year, man. Time.
Give him space.
Dang. Don't rush the boy.
Also, Lance is not forever alone, and Shiro is not a trophy husband.
No.
Even in that, epilogue, he's surrounded by the flowers that are her legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that grow
beautiful.
Everywhere, evidently.
Oh, yeah.
Not just on Altea. Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
He's surrounded by her memory. And again, that's also surrounding him with the things that he loves. They're never going to be apart, guys. She's always going to be with him.
Right there, on his cheeks.
Yep.
No, it's beautiful.
And she meaning something him. Because the lions, when the lions picked up and left, they...
And
lit up.
And it's okay.
That was her taking them back and saying goodbye. Yeah. I'm going to think that forever because of that little, like, the female figure in the stars.
Yeah. Oh, it was her.
In that post-credit
scene. That was totally
scene.
Altea. Oh, my God.
That was all of Altea.
She is Altea.
She
now.
Is Altea. No.
She is totally everything.
That was totally Allura. And guys, look, we know this. The ending of the season was controversial. It's okay if you didn't like it, but it's also okay if you did.
Yeah.
And if anybody's trying to make you feel like your opinion isn't valid one way or another,
kick them in the butt.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to that person. You can just agree to disagree, and we can all get along. It's okay.
I said you're allowed to have opinions. Just express them in a respectful manner.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to disagree with people. It's fine. Just don't go to war over it. We spent a whole series talking about how war is bad.
Don't go to war over your differing opinions. It never ends well. It's unnecessary. Just talk and be nice.
James Ferran says, also Lance has Carlton Necker.
Yep. Oh my God, I ship
it. And Carlton Necker gets a home.
Carlton Necker finally gets some peace.
Oh my God, that cow needed it.
Yeah, girl, she got abducted who knows when, by who knows what, by who knows who.
She lived in a space mall and then got, like, transported into a literal war machine, an intergalactic
into
war machine.
Into another war machine. She finally gets to just sit on grass.
She gets to live on a farm.
That is the most.
Live out the rest of her days making milkshakes for people.
That is the most well-traveled cow.
Right? Right?
Oh, and just a little.
I want someone to say that about me when I die.
On your tombstone, they were the most well-traveled cow.
Exactly. I want that.
And Tiny Animal says something I'd like to point out. Wait a minute. What about Cosmo? He's such a big floof a year
he's
later.
So
My
big.
God.
Such a big boy.
That is a so riding a wolf.
Boy. Yes.
And
that
I
is a dire
ride Cosmo
wolf.
Into battle.
Yes.
So cool. And then it teleports. Oh.
So good.
Teleport me into battle.
Cosmo is a good, good boy. And on that note, we need to end this. We need to wrap up.
I do just want to point out that Ramel and Shay and
Sal
and Bebo B were all sous chefs.
Yes.
Like, and that was incredible.
I'm not going to lie. I still ship Aksha and Ramel because I think they would be the odd couple.
Yeah,
I don't think, like, they didn't have very many scenes together.
Right? But
they
would
be perfect.
Their characters are just so not even similar, so them together would just be like, oh, how do you work?
I'm intrigued. Let's go.
Yes.
All right, well, we do have to wrap this up.
Yeah,
we
sadly.
Do. Oh, I miss doing this, but we had a short, short time today. So,
Oof.
Final opinions.
On the
I think we
season?
Had a good finale.
Yeah.
I think we
I think
did.
So too.
I think it was solid. I think it wrapped up a lot. I think we did well.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It was a good time, and it's sad to see the show go, but a lot of shows don't get to go out on their own terms.
All good things must come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
The end of one thing
is just Supernatural.
Putting Supernatural as a good thing is a bold move. It's lived long enough to see itself become the villain.
It's going to outlive us all. We know that,
probably
right?
Probably will. Okay,
but
all
yeah,
right.
The end of one
Before
thing is just
we
the
just
start of something new.
Every okay. new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Aww.
I'm gonna end this with some semi-sonic. Bex, can you tell us about any other projects you're working on?
Not allowed to.
Okay.
But
NDAs
I have things coming down the line.
All right. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at IBexWeBex, and you can find me on Instagram at Bex_TK.
Megan, where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, so be sure to check that out.
You can follow Yellow Lion Mark Donica at Mark B. Donica, Blue Lion Alexis Torres at A Torres 890, and Red Lion Emma 5 at Emma 5. I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on an Overwatch podcast called On The Point, and we are both on Rooster Teeth podcast hosted on anchor.fm/TheRoosterTeam. Go check them out. Everything is wonderful. Bex, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Has been a blast.
Always is.
We still have a season recap to come, so come back here next week, y'all, and thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
We've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.